Welcome to Identifying If Your Child Has a Learning Glitch. I'm Diane Kraft. I'm happy to be here. We're going to find out what you're here for, why some kids have to work harder than we want them to have to work at learning. Dr. Mel Levine, in his book, A Mind at a Time, calls it an energy leak. I used to call them learning blocks. When I homeschooled my son, and then I taught in the public schools when we were finished homeschooling, I taught for 25 years, and the last 10 years I've done a private practice in Denver called Child Diagnostics. Over 50% of the families I see now fly in, so I've had the opportunity to work with so many bright children. And your puzzle, and the puzzle that most of the parents find when they come to see me, is they have this bright child. This child who was at 3 years old saying words that you said, oh my goodness, where did he learn that from? Could just express himself. So you thought you'd get to reading and oh my goodness, that would be easy because he's already clearly has a command of the language. And then you get to reading and he's struggling with that. And you say, well, how can that be? What's up? What we're going to learn about today is how the brain learns. Because the child who isn't struggling with the auditory language area, that only requires one hemisphere of the brain. Before a child does schoolwork, one hemisphere of the brain or the other is what they can use. Schoolwork, we're going to look at, requires both hemispheres of the brain to work. And when that corpus callosum, that bundle of nerves that connects the two hemispheres, is acting as a barrier instead of a bridge, all of a sudden they're having to work too hard. And then they get into, sometimes we think it's ADD or they're just not focusing, but sometimes it's task avoidance. The difference between task avoidance and kids who are having a hard time focusing is the kids who are having a hard time focusing can do the work, but they don't want to do the work because their nervous system won't let them. The motor's going too fast. They have to do so many other things. The kids who have task avoidance, this too hard for them. It's taking more energy than it should. So we just think in terms of energy leaks. Let's think of just writing, the writing gate. We're going to talk about the four learning gates. There are only four. There's no magic to it. There's only four. When you look at the four, we can see which ones are out. You can figure it out yourself. Most of the time, this doesn't take formal testing because you just want to find out which gate's out and how to put it back in is the most important part. Well, what we know is that if we have, let's say we have Jimmy and Johnny here, and they're both just copying something from a whiteboard you have, not even having to come up with their own writing, just copying. But if we could put on the back of them a battery strip, you know, a battery, you know how we have those battery strips that shows how much battery you're using? If we could just put a battery strip on them at the beginning of this writing, that's just copying, we would see that Jimmy's battery goes down to almost nothing. Whereas Joey's battery just uses a little bit of energy to do this copying project. And if we could see that, then later on when Jimmy just, you know, has a meltdown when you ask him to write a paper or to do dictation and just gets so upset and we think it's a character issue, if we could see that battery, we would see he has nothing left. Sometimes I tell these wonderful kids who are bright but struggling with writing, I say, the worst thing you can do is turn in one really good paper. From then on, it's a character problem, isn't it? Because we found out they could if they really wanted to. Sure, if they used all their battery for that. That was it, for their energy. But you see, they don't tell you, by the way, Mom, my battery's low. No, they just will refuse to do it. And we think it's an issue. So with the last several years that I taught in school before I did my private practice, I worked with twice exceptional children. And many of them are your children. The twice exceptional are this. Let's just think of one line being normal, average, as we call it, typical. Average. The average IQ is 90 to 109. An average IQ is nice to have. It works well. 90 to 109, you can do anything in life you want to. But these guys didn't have an average IQ. They were above average. They were gifted with a glitch. Many of them, if in schools, you know, if you're above 119, that you're in the gifted program. We call it GT, gifted, talented. So they were all in the GT program. Many of them had 130 IQ. I had one boy who had 135 IQ, which is genius. So I told them all, they were all smarter than I was, but I was in charge. And I told them the reason I was in charge is in school I did something really unique. I turned my stuff in. I turned papers in. And I said, so you guys don't have to turn your papers in. Then you'll just spend your whole life having mortals like me in charge of you. Oh, okay, maybe we will. Because that's what these gifted kids were doing. They were not turning things in. So they were getting B's and F's, even though they were, of course, smart. They could have answered all the questions, and they often did. At the beginning of seventh grade, they could answer all the questions for that. They knew it, 98%. But what does life require? That piece of finishing up. These were sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. So what's the other exception? One exception from the norm was their IQ. The other exception, we had twice exceptional, the other exception was the writing gate was out, so they were hardly turning in anything.